Those of you that know me know that I have several deficiencies, we'll call them. And one of those is I do not have a good sense of direction while I am driving. Our brother Tom Ogumachi loves to tell the story to the youth group of when I took our youth group back to my hometown and got lost. You can ask him to tell you that sometime. My lack of sense of direction was most obvious to me when my wife and I went to New York City in what I believe was 1999. Yes, 1999. We were in New York City. And I'm going to mess up the details of this, so just let it go. But 1999, it seems to me we were going to see a play or a musical or something like this, and we'd rented a vehicle. We were at a hotel. The vehicle was parked in one of the public parking spaces there in New York City, and I had to leave the hotel and go get take a taxi. In the taxi, I had to find the car. I had to direct the taxi driver to find my vehicle. I wasn't sure I could do that. Once I got to my vehicle, of course, I had to find my way back to the hotel to pick up my wife and go see the play or whatever it is we're going to see. I wasn't sure that I could find my car. And if I could find my car, I certainly wasn't sure that I could find my way back to the hotel. So I remember very specifically, we were dressed up to go to this fancy play. And we're there in the hotel, and I'm outside, and I'm hailing a cab. And my wife is standing there, and I got the cab, and I got in the cab, and I turned around, and here's my beautiful wife saying goodbye to me. And as we drove away, I had this horrible feeling that I would never see her again. But I did. Even though my lack of sense of direction has separated me from my family many, many times, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Would you please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? If the Lord wills, we will conclude our study of this incredible chapter. Romans chapter 8. Please stand with me as we read the last two verses of God's Word in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Will you pray with me, please? I'd like to ask you to pray right now that God would open your heart, soften your heart, remove Satan's blinders from your eyes, and make you good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. You pray that for you right now. Now, would you please take a few minutes to pray for the other people in this room? That God would open their hearts, soften their hearts, remove Satan's blinders from their eyes, and make them good soil for the Word of God. That the Word of God would go down deep and bear fruit in their hearts. 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, would you please pray for me that I would preach this message accurately and therefore powerfully? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Last week we looked at death, life, angels, and principalities. Paul says, I am convinced, I have been completely convinced forever and ever that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Number one in your notes, we can be completely convinced forever and ever that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. After Paul makes this beautiful statement that he is convinced, and I pray that you are also convinced. He gives 9 examples of things that cannot separate us from the love of God. Death, we saw last week. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. Life cannot separate us from the love of God. Angels and principalities. We looked at that word last week. Principalities, the Greek word arche, spiritual authorities. Principalities cannot separate us from the kingdom of God. No power or authority, arche can be spiritual authorities, it can also be physical authorities. No authority, physical or spiritual, visible or invisible, will be ever be able to separate us from the love of God. The next thing Paul says is things present. Things present cannot separate us from the love of God. Interesting Greek word, it's on the back of your notes, enistemi, a compound Greek word, histemi, meaning to stand. And then in is simply in, to stand in, like I'm standing in for someone. It means I am present, I am here now. Romans 8, the word means something or someone that is here now. And in your notes, number 2, nothing or no one in your life right now can separate you from the love of God. Nothing or no one in your life right now can separate you from the love of God. Amen? Look at Galatians 1:3 behind me on the screen. Galatians 1:3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you may have a situation or person in your life right now that is just really challenging. Nothing or no one in your life right now can separate you from the love of God. Think of our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. Paul is writing to them too. And we commit ourselves to seeing that every one of them has their own copy of the Bible so that they can read these beautiful words, so that they know that nothing or no one in their life right now can separate them from the love of God. That's not all. Things present. The next thing he says is things to come. Things to come. Nothing in the future can separate you from the love of God. Here's a question for you this morning. Do you fear the future? Jesus Christ our Lord knew what was going to happen to him. He knew he would suffer and die for us. Look what he says behind me on the screen, Matthew 17. While they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. He will be raised on the third day." And they were deeply grieved. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him, but he knew that nothing could separate him from the love of his Father. Paul knew what was going to happen to him. Look what he says to the elders in Acts chapter 20. "And now behold," actually speaking to the whole church here, "and now behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me." Paul knew what was going to happen to him. But Paul knew that nothing in the future could separate him from the love of God. Number three in your notes, a Christian should eagerly await the future, not fear it. A Christian should eagerly await the future, not fear it. In this same chapter of Romans 8, Paul has this beautiful verse. Look at verse 18 behind me on the screen. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Isn't that wonderful? The future for the Christian is glorious. The future for the Christian is amazing. We will be with Christ forever and ever. Maybe you are not facing anything or anyone right now. But what about the future? Do you fear the future? Do you fear the future? Next one in your notes. Number four, nothing or no one in the future can separate you from the love of God. We'll talk a little more about this later, but by the way, if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have not forsaken your sin and embraced the free gift that Jesus Christ offers you, you should fear the future. We will talk about that a little later. Next, Paul says, no powers. Things present, things to come, powers. No powers can separate us from the love of God. The Greek word is dunamis. Dunamis. Powers. We got our English word dynamite. Kind of sounds the same. This word dunamis in the New Testament is mostly used of miracles. When Jesus performs a miracle, it's called a dunamis. Brothers and sisters, in your notes, again, number five, there is no power in the universe that can separate us from the love of God. Please keep your finger in Romans 8 and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to show you something really awesome. 1 Peter chapter 1. Keep your finger in Romans. We will never leave it. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by what? The power of God. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Why can no power separate you from God? Why is that true? No power in the universe can separate you from the love of God. Why is that true? Because God is protecting you by his power. The word protected can be used in a military context. God is protecting you like a soldier guarding someone. You're not going anywhere. We are protected by God's power. Now Paul explodes in verse 39. In verse 38, he says, death can't separate, life can't separate, angels, principalities, things present, things to come, powers. And then he just wants to include everything. Look at Romans 8, 39. Romans 8, 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In this verse, Paul is covering everything. He is encompassing all existence. He says nothing above, nothing below, nothing in between, nothing to the right, nothing to the left, nothing in front of you, nothing behind you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And that's the next one in your notes. I've run out of specifics. So number 6, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing above, nothing below, nothing in between, nothing to the right, nothing to the left, nothing in front, nothing behind, nothing. Look what David says in Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. I love that. Darkness and light are the same to God. You can look at it horizontally and vertically. He says, things present, things to come, height, depth. Time and all of time and all of space, nothing in the present, nothing in the future, nothing in the universe, height, depth, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing, he says, nothing will be able to separate us from God. Abel is a different form of the same Greek word power. Nothing or no one has the power to separate you from the love of God. The Greek word separate, we looked at from verse 35, where it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You may be here this morning and you have experienced a broken relationship of some kind. Nothing is going to separate you from God. The last beautiful thing Paul says in this verse is about the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Look at it in verse 39. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. My favorite verse in all the Bible, Romans 5:8, describes it perfectly. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Take a look at 1 John 4:9 and 10. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Trinity Baptist Church, God loves you. Do you realize the joy we have as Christians? Before I move on, Don, am I banging and popping to such a degree that I should throw this away? Am I good? I'm good? Okay. Do you realize the joy we have as Christians? Do you realize the wonderful life we can have as Christians? We can spend our whole lives on one big adventure. What is that adventure? You as a Christian person, because God has chosen to love you, you as a Christian person can spend your whole life trying to find out how much God loves you. You can spend your whole life plunging the eternal depths of the love of God. You'll never reach it. You can spend your whole life climbing the heights of the love of God, trying to discover the eternal greatness of the love of God. You spend your whole life discovering more and more and more about God's love for you, and at the end of your life, you have discovered that much of it. You know my favorite hymn, The Love of God. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole if stretched from sky to sky. I said that fast. It's very, very simple. In plain English, if the whole ocean were full of ink, and the sky were one big piece of paper, if every tree on earth was a pen and every single person an author, there would not be enough ink in the whole ocean to completely describe in words how much God loves you. And if the whole sky were one big piece of paper, we would run out of paper. Trinity Baptist, spend your whole life reading the Bible, praying, fellowshipping, serving, learning more and more and more about God's love for you. And when you die, you'll have only scratched the surface. But you should try. You should try. You should make that your goal. Discover more and more about God's love for you every day. Make it your whole life. Make that your whole life. Starting today, say, I am going to pour over the scriptures every day, reading about God's love for me on every page and understanding it more and more. I'm going to spend more time in prayer, in God's presence, asking Him to give me a deeper understanding of His great love. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to surrender to Him more. I'm going to trust Him more so that I can experience His love much more. I'm going to live by faith so that I can experience His love more than I could if I lived by fear. I'm going to serve Him more. Make that commitment today, Trinity Baptist, that you're going to spend your entire life plunging the depths of God's love for you. Make that your life journey. One thing I really want you to see today, brothers and sisters, we discover the incredible heights and depths of God's love in the pages of Scripture. That's where we find it. That's where we discover it. Brothers and sisters, this is the story of God's love. Pour over these priceless pages day and night. Not because you have to. Not out of guilt. Do it because in this book you will discover indescribable joy. As you read the Gospels, the love of God embodied in our Lord Jesus Christ comes to life on every page. As you read the Gospels, the love of God embodied in our Lord Jesus Christ comes to life on every page. As you read the epistles, Paul and Peter and John explain the love of God in incredible detail. Brothers and sisters, pick any passage in any epistle. Any epistle, read a paragraph, and discover in stunningly beautiful detail the love of God for you. Each page of the epistles you read, each page of the Bible you read, you don't know whether to sing or cry. As you read the story of Israel in the Old Testament, you discover a God that is so terrifyingly holy that He cannot tolerate sin. Yet, He forgives His people over and over and over and over and over again. Israel. You discover a God in the pages of the Old Testament that cannot tolerate sin, yet has not and never will forsake His chosen people. As you read the Old Testament, you discover what God Himself proclaimed to Moses in Exodus 34:6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. I will never get over the fact that this is how God describes Himself. As you read the Psalms, King David and others put the incredible truth of God's love in poems and songs. Trinity Baptist Church, the Word of God, the Bible, is more precious than silver, more costly than gold, more beautiful than diamonds. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And God has put his very words in a book. Take it. Read it. Read it cover to cover, cover to cover, cover to cover, over and over and over again. And every single time you read it, you will unpack more of God's indescribable love for you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But you can reject his love. Tragically, we can choose sin instead of God. Take a look at Hebrews 10 behind me on the screen. If we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. We have verse 29, Chrissy. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a terrifying thing to fall under the hands of the living God. As it says on the screen, if you're here today and you're living in sin, choose God. Choose life. Choose love. Will you pray with me, please? Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, grace, grace, God's grace, greater than all our sin. Thank you so much that you have justified us. You have forgiven us. You have adopted us. You will glorify us. You will save us. You have decided to save us, and nothing, nothing, nothing will separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, for every single person who is born again here in this room, that you would fill them with assurance of their salvation. That every single person who is saved in this room, we pray, Heavenly Father, that they could stand fully assured in your love, knowing that you have adopted them, knowing that your power is protecting them, knowing that when they sin, your Son is in heaven to intercede for them, knowing that your Holy Spirit is in their heart as a deposit guaranteeing their inheritance, which is protected for us, waiting for us. Oh God, we pray for every single person in this room that is truly born again, that we would stand fully assured in your love. We pray for anyone in this room that to date has not surrendered to your love, that today would be the day that they can be born again. In Jesus' name, amen.